This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Been a lovable loser.
Oh, well said. I am a loser. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg. How about our amazing producers? The very talented RJ Santillo.
I'm going home.
No, you can't go home. We need you. And there's my guy, the very handsome Raymond Santiago.
Oh, they're the biggest threat to the Jets.
Where else can you get analysis like that? And of course, as always, we're rolling with the company. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Canucks.
That's so good. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, you know it, 1-800-919-3776.
You know what? Why don't you answer the next one?
That's not my segment.
Well, what is your segment?
So nasty. This is my segment. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today. That's what I'm talking about. The Nets got outscored 46-16 in the first quarter en route to a 43-point loss in Boston. We're going to revisit Tom Brady's retirement and how it affects NFL teams in search of a quarterback. Knicks back in action. Big one tonight at MSG against the Heat. We have two Super Boxes. Stuff you missed at 9:15. And as always on Thursday, at 7:45, we have an observation that did happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to a man that's never been accused of a lack of confidence.
If there were one person on the show that could, in fact, go into the brain and cauterize or something like that, it would, in fact, be me, yes.
And you feel like this. Why?
I've watched enough Grey's Anatomy, ER, those kind of shows that I probably could get away with it.
Well, how exactly would you do it?
Poke it! Go ahead, poke it!
That seems aggressive. Here he is, my Dr. McDreamy, the one and only, David Rothenberg.
Very nice! Very nice! You know what, though, is funny? You say you have a segment. When do you do the segment?
That is the segment.
That's the segment. So we can break now? All right, there you have it. We've opened it all up to you guys. 1-800-919-3776 right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, listen, no? I'm not opposed to a melange today, a cornucopia of sports talk. There's no pressing story today.
We touch this, we get to that.
We poke a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Poke it. Go ahead, poke it. That's what you're looking for?
Is that what you're looking for?
I'm here to facilitate your greatness. If that's what you like, that's what I like.
You love bouncy. I think today could be a bouncy show.
Listen, we can do a little Nets. We can get into the magnitude of the Knicks game tonight. This is a huge game for the Knicks tonight, right? Obviously, there's a big one. Win this one, you catch up to Miami a little bit. Lose this one, hard to envision catching up to them at all. The quarterback carousel, as it would be around the NFL. What do the Giants do with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley? I was reading something yesterday. He said, there is no way the Giants are going over $12.5 million a year for Saquon. So, yes, it's a very bouncy day. I agree.
Yeah, that seems like an easy one. I was reading a report, too, that they've already started negotiations with him. It seems like they have a number in mind. And if he's not going to cooperate, then it's either he can go find his money somewhere else or maybe they use the tag on him.
And the tag's now $10
million. $10 million, yeah.
Right.
So do you want the $2.5 million extra a year or do you want to try to get your $14.5 million, wherever, somewhere else?
I think New York is good for him. I think he probably has the most. I think he's going to have opportunities regardless, but I would say that New York is the best fit for him.
I think Greeny says it perfectly. He said this. I heard him the other day, and I loved it. He said, mamas, don't let your children grow up to be running backs.
He's right.
I mean, it stinks now, but that used to be that was the premium position, like with Emmitt Smith. Like everyone wanted. I wanted to be a running back. Love that.
The thing is, it's the easiest to translate to the NFL. Like, if you're good, it's probably the easiest to go from high school to college and the easiest to go from college to the NFL. Thing is, the shelf life is just, it's non-existent.
Yeah, but, I mean, remember, that was, like, the coolest position, man. Like, being a running back was considered, like, the coolest offensive position.
It's still a cool position.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, with the ball being thrown all over the field, I think the, I mean, it's the wide receiver has definitely surpassed the running back as far as importance.
Yeah, and wide receiver is more difficult, too, like just personality-wise. The wide receivers are pains in the ass.
They are, yes. They are the most, they have the diva tendencies.
They sure do. So, you know, it's funny, I'm listening and yesterday to all sorts of radio and all the Brady stuff, and this idea that we're so desperate to find, well, Brady was, he was really good, but he wasn't the best, and he only won three more Super Bowls than Montana and Bradshaw. He only won.
Call him out. Say who said it. Call him out.
I actually didn't hear it.
I think I have the sound. I think I pulled it for you.
Oh, did you really?
Possibly.
See, you're a professional. Do you want to hear the sound? Now, here's the thing. You can have the sound, but if RJ and Raymond don't have the sound, it doesn't do anything for us.
That's a great point. I am hoping.
Hoping.
I mentioned maybe yesterday that we should get that sound.
All right. You know what? Okay, so here's my question for you. Do you have blind faith in the guys?
I always have faith in the guys.
All right. So then I'm going to just throw it to the sound of someone saying he only won three more than Bradshaw and Montana.
Is it the championships, Peter, or is it the length of time he played? It's both, isn't it? So it's not just the one. And yeah, ton of championships. It's only three more than Montana. It's only three more than Bradshaw. Like, it's a lot.
That's a lot. That's almost double.
But is equally as impressive he played two decades?
Only three more? Listen, we
only three more?
The Jets have been to how many Super Bowls in your lifetime?
None.
Right. The Giants, who have had tremendous amount of success, have won four in their history. Brady's only won three more? Only?
Dave, he has seven is more than any NFL franchise has.
Yes.
Super Bowls.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, you can't say, like, okay, Brady only has 1,100 more passing yards than the next guy on the list, and he's going to be passed. That's an only. Three more Super Bowl titles is not an only. Guys would give up a limb to have three Super Bowl championships.
Dave, we're sitting here talking about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets and in search of his second Super Bowl to put him in that elite category.
He only has three more. Is there any quarterback right now, and I don't even know, but I can't imagine, in the NFL right now that has three?
No.
No.
No, Patrick Mahomes is trying to get his second.
No, guys don't get three. Three is, I mean, how many teams have three?
How many teams have three?
How many teams have three? How many quarterbacks have three? To say he only has three more. Three is a lot.
No, yeah, three is definitely a lot. I mean, listen, Peter said it. It's almost double. Montana has four. Brady has seven.
Yeah, Montana has four. He's been to four. Brady has seven. He's been to 10. This is not only. You use the word only, and I think you sound silly. And I don't mean to call out Don, because I heard a lot of people with this take yesterday. But only three more? Come on.
So there's only three NFL franchises that have three Super Bowls.
And that's the Niners, the Steelers, the Patriots. No, that's not right.
No, have three.
No, it's not right.
Exactly three. So it's Denver has three.
Oh, okay.
Washington has three, and the Raiders have three. It's three.
Yeah, but, so how many teams don't have three?
Oh, dude.
How many teams don't have three? So for someone to say they only have three more, how many teams don't have three? The Bills don't have any. The Jets have one. The Dolphins don't have three. The Patriots, of course, do. The Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. I mean, Detroit has never been to a Super Bowl. When you start thinking about what this guy has done, he made the you'll never see it again in the history of the game look almost ordinary, which is part of what goes into him being so great.
Yeah, forget all the other. I mean, listen, no one's ever said, I don't think, that Tom Brady is the most talented quarterback to ever play. But when you talk about Wayne Gretzky is not, I don't think, is more talented than Connor McDavid is. Like, there's been plenty of guys that have more talent. It's how you use the talent and how long you're able to play at that high of a level.
Well, he
the
did
longevity,
that
it's all of it.
But yeah, that, he, it's did, the, he that's, did that forever.
But that's what GOAT is. It's all encompassing. It's not just one thing.
You're right. I mean, is he? I don't even think it's a question. If I asked you, is Tom Brady more talented than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
The answer, yes. No, he's not more talented than Mahomes.
No, of course not. But it's the sum of all of it. It's getting the most out of your talent. It's, you know, the cerebral part of it. It's how he thinks the game. It's his work ethic, how much work he puts into it. Like, all of that, when you think that he's played, I mean, 23 years in the NFL, up to age 45, like he told everybody, won seven Super Bowls, went to 10, and then leads the NFL all time in wins, pass yards, TDs, playoff wins. I mean, dude, like, it's because everyone was looking for a different angle yesterday. No, and no one wanted to all just say, oh, you know, he's the greatest of all time. It was, well, he only has three more Super Bowls than Joe Montana.
He only has three more.
Or he wasn't the best regular season quarterback, and he wasn't the best Super Bowl quarterback. Like, he got lucky to win a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah, well, I mean, can we all agree that the David Tyree catch was kind of lucky?
Well, I mean, he got lucky. He could have been. What were the lucky games? Because let's be fair, and you know I love the Giants more than really anything, and they're my favorite team by far. They could have easily won those two against the Giants, and let's be honest, they could have easily beaten the Patriots. I mean, the Eagles also.
Right. I think people would point to the Seattle debacle.
You want to say they got fortunate there? They got fortunate there.
And then the comeback against the Falcons.
Okay. And should they have won the Giants game?
Yeah.
Should they have won the second Giants game?
Yeah, but no one wanted to do that. Everyone wanted to point to try to diminish so they could be different. They could have a different take.
Why?
I don't. Listen, you're asking somebody that, as a Jets fan, had his heart ripped out plenty of times by Tom Brady and the Patriots. But at the end of the day, man, as a former athlete, the level of respect and admiration I have for what this guy was able to do and the amount of energy and time that he put in to be in the very best. Like, dude, how many times did we sit around the microphones and be like, why is he still playing? Like, what drives this guy? He's achieved. He's accomplished everything.
Yeah, I don't think guys like that, guys that win and continuously win and have this desire to win more, I don't think you can really put a finger on what makes them tick. Those are the outliers. Those are the different kind of level guys.
Yeah, I think that's what makes you the greatest. It's not just skill. It's not just talent. It's all of it. Like, that has to be it. I'm telling you, man, I'm the same as you. I was listening to a bunch of stuff yesterday. I'm like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah, and you're right. Everyone had to, because it's so easy just to get on the bandwagon and say, God, he was amazing. Right? We didn't say anything negative about him, because I don't know how you do, but there are places and people that did. RJ's funny. He says to me, I didn't think I'd ever say this, but the Mike Francesa sound makes sense right now. Francesa, and it was entertaining, was on First Take with Russo and Stephen A., and he had one of those takes. Brady, not the best at anything.
I'm going to throw a little oil on the ceremony.
Okay.
He's not the best regular season quarterback I've ever seen. Peyton Manning was.
What?
He's not the best Super Bowl quarterback who ever lived. Joe Montana is. What he is, though, is the guy who played the longest and he won the most games. He won the most Super Bowls. So he will be remembered because nobody's going to play 23 years and nobody's probably ever going to have a chance to win that many Super Bowls. It's almost impossible to do. He was in the right place with the right coach and he was that competitive. But so, let me say this. In the Super Bowl, just take the Super Bowl performances. Nobody ever has competed on the level Joe Montana competed on. Not even close.
I don't know that that's even accurate, to be honest with you. I mean, Montana was great, but
Joe Montana is.
If you bring up his numbers, I mean,
not the best.
They went up against teams that were inferior to them. They went up against so Montana beat who? He beat the Bengals in 81. He beat the who did they beat? They destroyed the Dolphins, but the Dolphins weren't in the same ballpark. And they hammered the Broncos 55 points against Denver. I don't know. I mean, listen, Montana's great. I don't want to do what everyone is doing and start taking away from Montana. Montana was elite. But, I mean, he doesn't have the numbers that Brady has in the Super Bowl. He didn't lead a 28-3 comeback. He didn't throw for 500 yards. Like, I don't know. I don't know why we need to do this. Let's make other guys look better. And while we do that, let's try to bring Brady down along the way.
Well, because that was a unique take yesterday. It was something that people would talk about. And he pointed to the fact that Joe Montana never threw a Super Bowl interception.
He went to four.
And his passer rating. Dude, how many quarterbacks in the NFL have won multiple Super Bowls and have two Super Bowl MVPs?
Eli.
Yeah, Eli. That's elite category. I mean, that's elite territory.
Montana.
Right.
Brady.
Right.
Does Jim Plunkett have that?
No.
Bart Starr?
Right.
I'm good.
One more, still on television.
In television.
Joe Montana is.
I don't know.
Terry Bradshaw.
Uh-huh.
There's five. And Tom Brady has, oh, by the way, five Super Bowl MVPs.
That's right.
Right. So he has more Super Bowl MVPs than Joe Montana has actual Super Bowls.
Correct. Right. But again, I don't want to be the show that now beats up on Montana. That's not the goal here either.
No, but isn't that what makes you the greatest, though? No one said, like, yeah, Peyton Manning was an unbelievable regular season quarterback. But wasn't Tom Brady good enough in the regular season that when you take his regular season, where at age 44 he led the NFL in touchdown throws, and you add that to what he's able to do in the postseason, isn't that what makes you the greatest?
I would think so. I mean, here's my question. Was Brady great in the regular season? Great.
Yeah, dude, the yes. man won three MVPs, man.
Yes. Was he great in the postseason? Yes. Was he great in the Super Bowl? Yes. Was he great with the longevity? Yes. The guy was great, period. And how about this for a stat? I heard this yesterday, and we'll lead you to the break with this. And this portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Tom Brady. Well, you know what? I'll ask you. How many snaps did Tom Brady take in his NFL career in the regular season where he had no chance to go to the postseason? You have any idea?
It can't be. I mean, it can't be. Maybe none.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Does that count for something?
It's the first, dude, this is the first year ever he was under 500.
Yeah, and if you remember, the last game was meaningless to them.
Right.
Meaning, so they were 8-8. Had they needed to win it, maybe they do. First year ever under 500. So, again, I think you have to stop with the hot take of, well, he only won three, or he didn't do this so great. The greatest. The greatest.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
So are you and I in a category where you're not going to get me a present?
Here's why you're not going to get a present.
50.
I don't care what it is. The beautiful present that I did buy you for your 49th birthday has yet to be used.
It's true, but maybe you didn't get me the right present. Listen, I appreciate the effort.
That's something you say like in the sports world. At least they gave effort. That's code for we're not very good, but we tried really hard. And yeah. I think that's what he's saying about your gift. You tried hard. Like, it's not any good.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You want to give me one right here?
Alan Lazard.
Field Yates would know.
He probably would. I don't know it. That wasn't a good one.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes. The big 7 o'clock hour. DPHR Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. All this birthday talk. How was your wife's big birthday yesterday?
It was great.
What did you do? Did you do something good for it?
Yeah, we had a nice little surprise party, nice dinner, private room. It was awesome.
Nice. She loved it, didn't she?
Yeah, because she was, it was understated. It wasn't crazy.
Kids
was
involved in the dinner or kids home as
no,
you,
kids
the
involved.
Adults had dinner?
Kids involved.
Kids involved?
Yep.
A lot of wine at the dinner, I would imagine.
There was quite a bit of wine.
Free-flowing wine the way you live, right. I would think.
Yeah, I think you got a chance to experience that firsthand at the show dinner.
Yes.
You partook.
You adore wine.
I do like wine a lot.
You're a big wine. Maybe a snobbish wine guy, but
big
wine
guy. Never did. Here's the thing, though. I never did. Like, when I first turned pro and I actually got called up and I was with the Islanders, and I had, like, my college suit, and I had, like, Aldo dress shoes, and we go to dinner, and it'd be like, you know, you're getting just whatever you're used to, and, you know, what do you want to drink? And I'm like, I don't know, give me a Diet Coke. And they're like, Diet Coke. And then all of a sudden you start learning. They're like, okay, you're not wearing these shoes anymore. You're going to get these suits. And they take you out, and, like, the veteran guys show you around, and then they start, you know, buying, you know, different bottles of wine and explaining to you why this wine is good or that wine is good. And then eventually you've kind of...
Now you're like a sommelier.
No, I think I got a pretty good idea what I like and what I don't like, but I just, it's delicious.
Yeah, you're big. Would you ever get involved with, like, the vineyards? Like Tom Seaver
was? I would love that.
Would?
I would love that, yeah.
So let's see, vineyards or alpaca, you go vineyards.
Oh, how about the alpaca on the vineyards?
Oh, that'd be nice. Maybe the alpaca is sniffing out the appropriate grapes.
I said something to RJ yesterday about some, like, investment opportunities. Like, oh, I see what it is. Yep. Alpacas right to the glue factory.
Yeah, I don't know that investment opportunities is somewhere we would follow you to.
No, I wouldn't either. I would not either.
This portion of the show is driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Did you make sure to wish Cass a happy birthday from us?
She said thank you, yeah. RJ sent me a nice text. She actually, her dad, who listens to the show every day, made sure that she heard, because she wasn't listening to the show yesterday. She heard it, and she was very appreciative, yeah.
Good. I'm glad she had a great birthday. She is the best. I mean, clearly the better half of the two of you. I think it's fair to say.
That's not even close.
And I think you would completely agree with that. All right. 1-800-919-3776. So as far as now, you know, the dominoes, does this mean anything to you that Brady's not going to be involved? Because I know Brady, or at least I think Brady was never going to go to the Jets, but does this stand in the way of Brady going to a team that might not have gone after Aaron Rodgers? Now they could, and that impacts the Jets.
Well, yeah, I think the team that you would point to is Vegas, because everyone yesterday, I don't want to name names, that was talking about, well, now does this open up San Francisco? No, Green Bay is not going to trade Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco.
God, no.
Okay, so let's just take that off the table. I would say it would probably be Vegas. Devontae Adams is there. I mean, it's Vegas.
Who else? Is that it?
Well, no, I think it's the same teams. It would be, again, I mean, you're talking about what's happening in Miami. Are they being truthful? Because now all of a sudden Tua's out of concussion protocol. They said they were going to stick with Tua. But if the price is right, does Aaron Rodgers become an option? I don't know.
Well, they don't even have a first-round pick.
Right. Can they offer the trade compensation that's necessary? I think it's the same teams. Tennessee. But as far as what Tom Brady not being, you know, available now means, I think it's just the one team. I think it's Vegas, because it was Tom Brady was going to go to Vegas, or when Brock Purdy got hurt, potentially the Raiders, the Niners.
Right. Well, obviously, Brady not being here, does Vegas... Vegas needs a quarterback. Now, Vegas has what? You just ran through the picks. They pick where?
Vegas
Seven?
Has the seventh pick, yep.
All right, so does Vegas get involved in one of the young quarterbacks via the draft and try to build that way?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, it depends on what's the sense of urgency there to win. I mean, I saw the report yesterday from Jeff, I forget who it was.
Jeff Passan.
No, it wasn't Passan. I don't know if it was Darlington or not. It was somebody that was just saying how infatuated Mark Davis was with Brady. And they were going to do, like, even if it was, like, ownership stuff to try to get him to Vegas.
Did you see the Devontae Adams tweet?
I did.
Where they said, what was it, like Vegas? some Vegas Twitter handle said, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go? And he said, my neighborhood.
Yeah, which is funny, too, because it was Derek Carr that got him to come to Vegas. And then Derek Carr, see you. That's kind of crappy.
If they draft a young quarterback, you think there's any chance they would move on from Devontae Adams?
Does Devontae Adams want to move on? No.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you want Devontae? Like, they would probably go with Stidham for a while. They would stick with Stidham until the
end. Stidham looked better than I ever thought he would, though.
Okay, so they stick with him and then...
And then develop the young quarterback?
I don't know what the urgency to win there is. Because you got a bunch of teams. I mean, Houston at 2 needs a quarterback.
Well, Houston's going to get a quarterback.
Right.
At least one.
Indy. I mean, Seattle has the 5th pick, depending on what they're going to... I would imagine they're bringing Geno back if the money's right. I think Detroit likes Goff. Vegas needs a quarterback. Atlanta probably needs a quarterback unless they like Desmond Ridder.
Can you be sold on Ridder?
No. Carolina needs a quarterback.
Desperately. Do you know right now who the starting quarterbacks in the NFC South are?
Right now, starting quarterbacks in NFC South. Oof.
I saw this yesterday. Ridder? I don't even know that I remember it. It was jarring.
Betson Stennett.
Well, you got Ridder.
Ridder in Atlanta.
Ridder's in Atlanta.
You got Winston in New Orleans.
Sam's got to be Carolina, right?
No,
he's a free agent.
Ooh. Yeah, he's not.
So then it's this young kid. Oh.
Yeah, Matt Corral?
It's got to be him.
Yeah, Matt Corral in Carolina. And what's the other? And Tampa is...
Is it Trask?
Trask.
Yeah, Trask.
Oh, Trask, yep.
At the moment, that's the NFC South quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah, that's something, huh?
That's not great.
No, that's not great. But
well,
that's
the other thing it does too. It opens up Tampa.
Tampa's not in financial situation where they can really add an expensive quarterback. They're way over the cap anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how attractive Tampa would be right now either. I'm not sure Todd Bowles is a great head coach.
I don't know. He's a great head coach. They were broken this year with Tom Brady. Their offensive line kind of stinks. Feels like they're an older team.
No. And plus, it's an NFC team. Doesn't matter. They're not going to trade him to it. They've said they're not going to trade him to an NFC team.
Are we at the point where you'll be heartbroken if Rodgers doesn't wind up on the Jets?
Yes.
Oh, no.
How could I not be? We've taken all the steps.
That scares me.
It should scare you.
That scares me. Because I know, God forbid that happens and he winds up somewhere else. God forbid he winds up on Miami, but anywhere else, having to deal with you and the negative energy on the show would be miserable.
I'll be miserable. That's right. Which hopefully doesn't make you miserable.
So you can't put on like a brave face and say, you know what, I'll gut through it. If Rodgers winds up anywhere but the Jets, how about if Rodgers retires?
Well, like that's different, but still, it doesn't make me feel any better.
So if Rodgers gets dealt to anybody other than the Jets, you're in a way.
Even if he retires, I'll be in a way.
Really?
Yeah, because it's still, I mean, we still don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but you can get Derek Carr.
Okay.
Garoppolo.
Well, we could still get Derek Carr.
Right, absolutely.
But if I mean, given how excited everyone is for the possibility of having this happen and Nathaniel Hackett being hired and everything else, yeah, it would be a letdown if Aaron Rodgers didn't get traded to the Jets.
I have a hot take.
Well, here it is. Let me write it down.
You get the sheet ready. RJ involves ready. You. Ready?
Yeah, hold on. February 2nd.
February 2nd, 2023. So now all of a sudden you have found the hot take sheet. You found it? Hey, look at your hot sheet take. RJ,
how hot is this? Like how many
it's not scalding because I don't think the player involved moves the needle all that much. But I think it's a pretty good take.
Okay, here we go. Go right at that.
Matt Ryan?
Yep.
Niners backup.
Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Solid. I like how you connected the dots right there.
That's right.
Makes perfect sense.
You know what? Because I don't know that Purdy's going to be healthy. So then the more and more you read, the more and more he might not play next season. You can't trust Trey Lance as the only guy.
Garoppolo's Ryan, out.
What?
Garoppolo's out.
Gone. They said yesterday Garoppolo is gone. That's the take. That's the prediction.
It's a nice, solid take.
You like that one.
Matt Ryan's not the best option for the Jets then, is what you're saying.
No, how could you possibly think that?
I've heard it. I'm just...
You've heard that. Well, why is this like a punchline? You've heard Matt Ryan is the best option for the Jets?
Sounds like somebody doesn't know what they're talking about, is what it sounds like.
It's exactly what it sounds like. So somebody out there is banging the drum for Matt Ryan. The Jets should go out and bring in Matt Ryan?
Loudly. Smashing the drum. Yep.
That seems dumb, no?
I don't think that person's on the same level as Channing.
Channon's online, by the way.
I would agree with that, by the way.
We have Channon on the line?
Channon's on, yeah, but here's the thing, right?
I hope he verbally berates you.
If we bring in Channon, can it be civilized or is he going to go bananas?
He can be very civilized.
Should I do this or should we go to Purple Belt Mike? You tell me.
I don't even know what the purple belt is. I think it's
a low-level belt.
What a question. Just past the yellow belt.
What a question.
Yeah, let's go to Channon. Stop.
All right. I'm telling you, though, I don't want to start screaming. Channon in Perth Amboy. Hi, Channon. How you doing, buddy?
How's it going, Dave, Little Giants, Rosenberg? How you feeling? I'm hearing in the streets my name has been run up and down today.
No, I wouldn't say that's true.
It's very true, Channon.
I wouldn't say run up and down. We went back to I've never heard the name Channon before is all I said.
And then you questioned my football acumen.
No, I did not.
That's what it sounded like.
We can all
use the Google to figure out that Derek Carr played for the Fighting Stephen Bakers.
Oh, no.
Is that what you...
He challenged you.
What do you want to do, Channon? You want to drop the gloves right here, right now?
But my question is,
yeah.
Is it that you have an eidetic memory, or do you actually know football?
Well, I think both.
Wow.
Here you go. Here's a quick challenge for you. Name the five Cowboy wide receivers that wore 88 and the colleges they went to.
I don't know that I want to play your game.
Oh, that's a terrific question.
I don't know that I want to play your game. It's not Wednesday.
Sounds like a fun game.
Oh, of course.
I like this game.
All right. Desmond Bryant. Where do you go? To Oklahoma State.
Okay, there's one. But you know the one that's playing for the team now.
Yeah, CD Lamb. Went to Oklahoma.
Come on.
Drew Pearson.
Uncle Drew.
Would be. Oh, is he? He's an uncle. Who else were 88 for the the man that sweats like no one else. Michael Irvin. And...
don't think you mentioned where Drew and Irv went to school.
He sure didn't.
Wow. This is some of the best radio I've ever seen.
The nastiness.
They've teamed up against you. They both hate you.
That's fine.
And boy, sixes.
Drew Pearson. I think he's a Jersey guy. Did he go to Tulsa?
Yes, he went to Tulsa.
Yes, he went to exactly that. And come on, Michael Irvin.
I'll give you Irvin went to the Hurricanes. We're at four. We got one left, baby. One left. What you got?
One more Cowboy.
This is shaping up to be a real embarrassing segment for you.
How so?
Because you were challenged, and now you're teetering.
This would have been fantastic for Stump Rothenberg yesterday.
He's teetering.
Well, because I can't think of the fourth, eight, or the fifth,
he's been,
eight
he's been stunned.
He's not nearly as prominent as the other ones.
I have to teach the youth of Perth Amboy in about 5 minutes, Dave, so I don't have a lot of time.
I'm thinking. You know what? I'm not going to be rushed.
Don't be disrespectful to a teacher now.
Alvin Harper was not 88.
Ugh.
No, he was not. But I'll give you, he went to Tennessee.
Thank you for that.
He's not going to get this one, Chan. He's not going to get it.
What number did Tony Hill wear?
He was also an 80.
What number did Terry Glenn wear?
83. You want a hint? I'll give you a hint.
No, I want to try to think it through. It's because I'm sure it's got to be some kind of a big guy.
At some point, I'm gonna have to wave.
You're gonna need a hint here. I don't want a hint. You're not gonna get this one.
Save him, Rick.
I mean, someone's gonna have to throw in the towel here at some point.
It was at the turn of the century, right, Champ?
Just tell him.
Yep. You want the college? You want part of the name?
Antonio Bryant.
There you go.
Up from Pittsburgh.
We got to step your Wi-Fi up so that you can Google that quicker.
By the way, I didn't Google anything. All right. By the way, that's an embarrassing question. The fact that you're including Antonio Bryant with those other guys is embarrassing for you.
I didn't say great 88 greats. I said the 88.
Stop it.
That's all I said.
Stop it.
Thank you, Channing, for this today. I needed it.
I mean,
it's
a terrible call.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, Channing.
It's a fantastic call. It's a fantastic call.
Have a great one, little giant.
Oh. All right, Chafin. We appreciate the time there.
Talk about being humbled.
How was I humbled?
How's that humble pie taste? Is it delicious?
You're an idiot. Honestly, you might be an idiot.
I got RJ in my ear trying to call it. I gave you as much time as I could.
Because I had to think it through. I'm sorry.
2 minutes ago.
I don't consider Antonio Bryant to be an all-time Cowboys 88.
But he didn't say an all-time Cowboys 88. He said the Cowboys.
So just any guys that have worn 88? How about Mike Shepard?
He said the Cowboys receivers.
It's a ridiculous. You know what? If he would have asked for four, it would have been appropriate. The fact that I have to think of Antonio Bryant at 7 o'clock in the morning shows you that this man's football acumen way down.
Antonio Bryant was a Biletnikoff winner.
It's
Biletnikoff,
but thank you. Not Biletnikoff. That's Steve Biletnikoff delivers the mail. Fred Biletnikoff is an all-time great receiver.
Did you guys get? Did you guys see the hand gesture? All the way down.
All the way!
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's get to the Giants a little bit. We've done a lot with the Jets and a lot of Aaron Rodgers. The Giants. We started the show by kind of touching on this a little bit, and that's Saquon Barkley. I'm sorry. I want to keep him. I think he's a good piece. Look at the amount. You know how much the Eagles are spending on running back in this Super Bowl, Rick? For this season?
Not a lot. I don't think it's a lot of money, no.
I think $4 million for their running back room.
Wow.
$4 million. I think the Chiefs are not much higher than that either. So I stand by it. I like Barkley. I'd like to keep Barkley. I'm not breaking the bank. If you've offered 12 and a half and he is hemming and hawing at that, maybe you come to a realization that he's not a piece of the Giants' future.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think you need to understand one thing. Well, a couple things, but the first thing being is that ownership will probably have a say in this decision because of how important he is to the franchise. He's one of the faces of the franchise. He might be the face of the franchise.
I think he and Jones are the faces of the franchise.
All right, so let's call it what it is. Right. I mean, there's that aspect to it, which makes the negotiation a little bit more difficult. And then you have to try to figure out, and maybe that's go back and look at how Buffalo views it, but how much of an emphasis Joe Shane puts on that position. How important is that position to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll? Right?
Well, I mean, they didn't put a huge emphasis on it in Buffalo.
Right.
And that's where they're from. But I don't know. I mean, and what gets me nervous, too, is you say, you know, ownership. Is ownership going to get involved? Now, if ownership says you're offering him 12 and a half, he wants 14, give him 13 and a quarter, fine. Right? But if you're saying, listen, we'll give him 2 years at 26 or 25 and a half, and you want me to go 5 years at 60, you know, I don't know that I want to do something like that. Like, ownership can maybe meddle a little bit, but I don't want them overly involved here.
No, I don't think it's going to be overly involved. I just think if it gets to a point where he wants 14 and a half, they feel good about 13 and a half, is it somewhere in the middle? And for, you know, because again, I mean, a lot of these decisions are, especially with players at Saquon Barkley's level that have that, you know, the face of the franchise kind of, they love everything he brings to the table. That's not just that.
Everybody does.
No, I know, but that's not strictly just a you know, X's and O's, you know, GM kind of just focused on only the money kind of deal. Like, there's other things that teams take into account when making deals with players like that.
And what is that? What they are, locker room guys?
Locker room guys. Does it send, like, what kind of message they want to send to the team? Like, it's better to pay guys that, you know, it's better to pay our own guys than go out in free agency and spend the money because we know them. We know their injury history.
Sure.
And on top of that, we know, you know, it sends the right message that if you do all of these right things, that you'll be rewarded. And I also think there's the, you know, season ticket stuff. It's the all that other stuff is a part of it.
Well, come on. But Giants fans are going regardless.
No, I'm just telling you that when you get a player at that level that brings other stuff to the table, that sells the jerseys that Saquon, like, it has, you know, people, Giants fans have a special connection to Saquon Barkley. That's involved when you negotiate these deals.
Well, I have a problem with that.
I don't think it, yeah, but here's the thing. You're making it seem like it's to the point where because of those things, they're going to reset the running back market. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, with most just straight up deals, you'll have a number. Here's the number. You don't like it, we're fine with you walking away. But I think sometimes when you get players like this, like, I think that if it was up to Brian Cashman, he had a number in years for Aaron Judge that made sense to him. This is what he's worth. We have all the analytics, all the numbers. We forecasted what the production would be, how it would relate to us winning a championship. Here's the number in the years we feel good about. And if it was strictly up to Brian Cashman, because people are still going to go to Yankees games. If Aaron Judge left, people are still going to go to Yankees games.
Correct.
Would have said, here's the number, take it or leave it. He says, leave it, fine, we'll move on, we'll spend that money somewhere else. But no, because of all the other stuff that Aaron Judge brings to the table, all the money Aaron Judge made the team this year, Judge's whatever it's called, all the 99 jerseys.
Chambers?
Judge's Chambers.
Right.
One of the faces of baseball is then he gets involved and says, no, we got to get this done.
Right. But here's the thing also, and this is why it's not exactly apples to apples, and I know there's a luxury tax and the threshold and all that. You can, for the most part, do whatever it is that you want to do in baseball.
Right, because he's going to be the one that foots the bill. But you can also, I mean, there are plenty of teams that you ask yourself, like, where's their salary cap? Where's all that? Like, you can find ways.
You can, of course you can find ways. But I would ask you this. Would you rather have a running back room like the Eagles and an elite offensive lineman at say, guard to add to what's a getting better offensive line? Or would you rather have Saquon Barkley and the unknown as far as his injury is going to be moving forward? I don't think it's that cut and dry.
I would probably have the offensive lineman, but here's where I have a problem with this whole conversation, is that I can't sit here and tell you that and then on the and out of the other side of my mouth tell you that the Jets season would have been different if they had Breece Hall.
Right? Well, I think that's fair, and Breece Hall is clearly a difference maker.
And so was Saquon Barkley.
Clearly. I mean, one of the few running backs that really moved the needle. Well, that's why we're talking about, you know, the discussion of, are you going to pay him 12 and a half for 13 or 14 or 15, or, you know, if he wants 16, that's just too much. Like, clearly there's something there. But I again, my point is, I don't think this is so easy. Like, there are a lot of people who say, just pay if he wants 14, 15, whatever. Like, there's a definite injury history. There's the fact that running backs do not age well, and you don't know what the future is going to be, and that money probably could be used more judiciously elsewhere.
I don't think you're wrong. I do not think you're wrong. And I think a lot of people say, I think a lot of people feel the same way that you feel. I'm just trying to give you the other side of it. Right? Because if it was that cut and dry, it would be, okay, we tried during the bye week. It didn't work. We know what you want. Here's what we're willing to pay you. And if it doesn't work out, we also have the franchise tag if we want to use that. But we'd like to get something done. I think that there's more that goes. I guess what I'm trying to explain to you is that with players like Saquon Barkley, there are other things that also factor into the decision that you have to take into account.
And he's a fan favorite.
Fan favorite, right. Leader in the locker room. He's done everything right. It's guys like that, you know, you want to try to take care of because it sends the right message to your locker room. Like, we can't have you as the shining example, and then all of a sudden it comes time to pay you, and, you know, we're like, no, we're all set. Just doesn't send the right message to the locker room.
I get it, but how strong of a locker room is this besides Saquon Barkley? Like, I guess my question is, do you think that the Giants fans listening right now are saying, keep Saquon at, you know, 4 years for, I don't know, $58 million, 35 guaranteed, or, you know what, that money can be used better elsewhere, and because it's Giants first and foremost, like, I'm just wondering, he's Saquon, he's the face of the franchise, or one of the faces, and no matter what it is, you want to keep him, or if there's a real thought of, you know what, we have to think about moving forward without him.
I think that Giants fans are at a point that if Saquon left, they would miss him, but they trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to make the right decision.
Right. And it's Giants first and foremost, right? Before it's anything else.
Well, it has to be. And plus, I think there's a lot of smart football fans that watch all these games and watch what these teams do with running backs and say to themselves, you know, look at the money being spent on some of these running backs, and it hasn't been worth it. So why would we be the team to go and do it?
Right.
When we have needs all over the place.
All over. I mean, if this team was a piece away, you know what, that's a different conversation. But again, I think it's going to be Saquon and that kind of money, or it's going to be, I can add another legitimate piece to a team that needs a lot of pieces.
I think Saquon's one of those guys, and I think we just kind of willy-nilly throw this around where it's, oh, he can leave a couple million on the table, he'll make it up off the field. I think Saquon Barkley is actually one of those guys, though, that would really reap the benefits and rewards,
yes,
of being a Giant for life.
Can I selfishly tell you what I hope happens?
is that they franchise him.
Yeah. That they agree to a deal with Jones. They franchise Saquon, $10 million, and it sucks. I mean, listen, but here's the thing. That's what the business is. That's the nature of the NFL right now.
If you take emotion out of it, you're not wrong. You had him for 5 years. You franchise him twice. That's seven, and then thanks for your service, and we move on.
That's right. That to me is the perfect world, but I don't know that they're willing to do that, and I don't know that they want to make him unhappy, and I think that probably makes him unhappy.
But I think the threat of that though could get you to a sweet spot where both sides aren't thrilled, but it makes sense for both sides.
Like if they offer him 3 for $39, that's a good deal. No,
it's solid. Yeah, it's solid.
It's a real good deal. Let's get to some of the calls. They're lining up. 1-800-919-3776. Eric in Queens. Go ahead, Eric. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, Dave. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I don't want to overpay for him, but I do believe, just as with Plexico and Eli, when he didn't fight for Plexico, it kind of changed his production. I believe that as Saquon go, Daniel Jones go. So if you lose them, you know, you guys got to think about that also, you know, because they both are joined at the hip.
But Eric, what do you guys think about my thought would have to be you don't lose him and have nothing in the running back room. You take a step back and then you improve elsewhere on the offense.
Yeah, but Dave, also taking a step back for some guys. I mean, you look in Dallas. Look at Dallas hit the San Francisco game. When Pollard was out, what happened to Dak? How did he perform?
Yeah, but we hold on. We weren't talking about, no one's talking about Tony Pollard. Everyone thinks Tony Pollard's a better running back. It's what happened, what the hell happened to Zeke? He's the one you paid. That's the fear.
Yeah, but he's the one you paid, but who was the guy that produced? We're talking about production. We're not talking about money.
No, we are talking about money, though. No. It's exactly what we're talking about is the money. And you would point to Zeke as one of the running backs that got paid as to why you wouldn't pay a running back.
I understand, but Zeke has been in there a while.
When Zeke got paid, Zeke was the best running back. Listen, when Zeke got paid, he was one of the best running back, maybe the best, most productive running back in the NFL. And because the nature of the position, when you fall off, you fall off.
That's right. There is no, you're still really good. Did you see, by the way, and thanks for the call, Eric, what Jerry Jones said? Santiago, I'm sure you saw it. He said Zeke has had no drop-off at all.
There's a lot of things that Jerry says that anger me greatly. That's not even the worst.
What's the worst?
Yeah, he had another one.
Oh, he had something about how the Rams and the Eagles went all in to get the Super Bowls, and Dallas doesn't want to operate that way because we're perfectly fine. This is not verbatim, but we're perfectly fine being in the middle or something to that effect. It angered me greatly.
That's terrible.
Angered me greatly. Jerry Jones says all this stuff about he wants to win and he'll sign a check to win a Super Bowl, but he lies. He lies.
So you think your guy's a liar?
We've been in the middle here for a few years, but I like where we are right now, more in the middle. Those
who
are his
words.
Who
the hell would want to be in the middle?
Those are his words.
Who, honestly?
It depends on who's on the outside.
Oh, my.
It.
Oh, my.
What? No, really. Who wants to be in the middle? And by the way, put a dollar right in the jar, please. Thank you. Jordan Paramus. Jordan, go.
Yeah, how you doing? No, you know what? I don't hear a lot of people talking how Saquon honestly needs the contract. Well, deserves the contract more than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones threw for 15 whopping touchdowns, where I feel as if that's easily to replace rather than Saquon Barkley, who's been a generational running back. And
he's not. First of all, and we'll let you continue along in a second. He's not a generational running back. He's very good. He's not generational.
He had the potential to be.
He's not. I mean, come on. He's not. I don't think he's not the best running back in football. So if you're not the best running back in football, you're not generational. And to diminish Daniel Jones, hang on, let me just finish. To diminish his 15 touchdowns with that receiving core, and he ran for touchdowns, and he didn't turn it over, and he had an elite game in the postseason. I'm sorry, for my money, Jordan, Daniel Jones is a lot more important to the future of this team than Saquon Barkley. Go ahead.
Regardless of the fact, those are NFL. Wide receivers, he shouldn't be getting rewarded for doing something he's supposed to be doing. You say, you know, you don't have interceptions. It's like me patting you on the back, like, oh, good job. You showed up to work today. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I understand it, but let's look at it, the whole body of the work of the season. Saquon Barkley single-handedly carried the New York Giants. You know,
I don't know about that.
I don't think that's accurate.
I mean, there's literally statistics out there saying that he's like 80% of their offense this season.
He was in on 80-something percent of their snaps, which was the most of any running back in football. But, I mean, there was definitely a period of time where he tailed off. Because
he got hurt. It felt like he got hurt in that game in London against Green Bay, right? He had a shoulder issue. It felt like after Houston, he took a little dip down. And again, I don't want to diminish. I think Saquon is terrific. But if you said to me you're building around either Saquon or Daniel Jones, and how are we sitting here diminishing Daniel Jones? I thought Daniel Jones had a terrific season. And you know what? And I think this is important. The longer the season went on, the better you saw of Daniel Jones.
Well, because I think that's the nature of what happens. You're seeing that we saw it yesterday with the whole Tom Brady thing. Or when you start talking about Scott Rolen being a Hall of Famer. Right? Yeah, I mean, to make your case for one, you diminish the other.
I don't like that. I don't like that's the world we live in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to tell you, I love Buck. I don't think this is all that... I want to be careful what I say. I don't know how true this is. I had heard rumblings for months that Jacob DeGrom didn't want to return to the Mets.
Yeah, but I want to know why there were those rumblings, though.
So let me read you a little bit of the article. Here we go. So he was asked about DeGrom wanting to return to New York. Did you think he did? And he says, yes, I do. He says, I just talked to him the other day. He said, someday I'd like to sit down with you and explain what really happened. I really thought I'd be back there. Buck goes on to say, I'll take him at his word, but I think it's pretty simple. The Rangers made him an offer that was light years ahead of everyone else. Plus, there's no state income tax, and he was looking for a place to spread out. He's got it now. Jake will be very happy there, and he'll pitch well. He was great to have around, was always good with me. But the thing is, and this is the thing that I'd heard, Jake is from rural Florida. He just wants to be left alone to pitch. We'll miss him, but I can't dwell on it at this point. That's it.
Yeah, but there's a couple different things from that. So, I mean, it sounds like what Buck's saying is that Jake wants to tell him at some point the story as to why he didn't come back. But as far as Buck knows or thinks, it was because of the reasons you just said. It's that Texas made a better offer, Mets weren't going to get there, and on top of that, he's from, you know, rural Florida and wanted to be somewhere where it's just kind of laid back, he could spread out.
My understanding is he never liked the New York media, which is strange to me because did he get a hard time for the New York media? I thought he was very well received by the New York media.
Yeah, I think that of every athlete in New York, like I think we protected him. He's right up there on the top of the list as players we protected the most.
I almost don't remember anything negative said or discussed about him at all, except that he's injury prone, he's injury prone.
I think the most negative stuff was probably when he kept going back and forth to the MRI and they weren't finding anything. And it was like, well, what are we doing now? Is there a real injury? Is this he's just finding reasons not? Like, I think that was probably as negative as it got.
But it wasn't negative. Like, New York media can be awful.
The fan bases can be tough. But, I mean, this was like you circled the day on your calendar every time he was going to pitch. And we're just happy. Like, dude, I mean, he was carrying the team, man. Like, he was dominant pitching. He was driving in the only runs in his starts. He was amazing.
He won the Cy Young Award with, what was it, like 11-10 or 10-9 or something?
Dude, he was phenomenal. I just don't understand. Like, that's why when I read this the first time, it piqued my interest because there had to be the one. Because I was thinking the same thing you were thinking. I'm like, no, I mean, you can hate the media, but the media here wasn't bad at all for you.
Kid gloves with him.
Right. So, I mean, did something happen that we don't know about?
Well, the weird thing is that he would talk to Buck and would say, there's a story to tell, but I'm not going to tell you now. Like, I find that a little, like, you're on the phone with someone. We need to tell them what's going on?
Yeah, unless you'd think, but unless it's, it's bad enough that you want to wait, I guess. I don't know.
But then why say anything?
It's mysterious.
It certainly is mysterious. But why say anything? Just you know, at the point that you're ready, when you retire, whenever that point is, then you tell Buck what happened. You don't give him like a 3-year tease, or when I see in person, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like, hey, listen, Buck, I appreciate you, and you know, if whatever the story is didn't happen, then you know, I would have loved to play for you, but you know, maybe someday I'll tell you why. I don't know.
And what, you know what I really don't like too, is this thing of how he said, and I believe this is what Jake said, that they're really looking to win in Texas.
Well, that's not true. I mean, they spend the money like they're trying to win, but they don't.
Well, first of all, they're Texas. And second of all, who do you think has a better chance to win? The Mets or the Rangers?
The Mets.
Is that even a discussion?
No.
So what are we doing?
I think he was trying to justify a decision he made that was based solely based more on the contract and, I guess, just not liking the New York media.
If you got, but what's, again, A, what's not to like? B, if you got a deal of 5 for $185 and the Mets offered you either nothing in that stratosphere or lesser years or whatever, I don't think anybody blames him. I don't think anybody blames him for that at all.
No one blames him, but I think every athlete wants people to believe that they do this for winning and the opportunity to win. Right? Like, I mean, how many guys? There'll be some guys that be like, listen, I did it for the money. But there's like a lot of guys want you to believe they did it, just like a lot of teams want you to believe they make decisions because they're trying to win championships.
But stop with this whole charade that you think you have a better chance to win in Texas than you do with the Mets. Listen, and they spend money there. I don't know how well they spend it down in Texas, but it's ridiculous is what it is.
It's not when you're comparing what Texas is doing to what Steve Cohen and the Mets are trying to do. Yeah,
it's not comparable.
The Mets give you the best chance.
Alan Zack. That's one person. Alan Zack from Middletown, New Jersey, wins a Bartesian cocktail maker. See, that makes me happy to know that this man won a cocktail maker. I love it.
Can I say something, though?
Yeah.
And I don't want this to be offensive in any way.
It's going to be.
No, but just this
get the dump button ready, please.
No, this is more for RJ. This is more for RJ because he's trying to, I mean, we're going with Anthony or whatever name we're going to go with, Santillo. This is one of the things you need to take into account. Last name, Zach. You can't, I mean, Alan, it sounds like two people. Like, that didn't cross your mind when you're naming the Alan Zach? It sounds like two people.
You don't like the double first name.
No, I don't mind the double first name, but when you say the end of Alan sounds like and.
This isn't going to be an issue for RJ, though.
No, but doesn't it sound like Alan? It sounds like he's saying two names.
You're right, because I had the same thought when he said it. I thought it was two people.
You thought it was Al and Zach. That's
yes.
Why I said one person, Alan Zach.
Right.
Alan, first name, Zach, last name, Alan Zach.
But RJ's not going to have this problem.
Well, his last name's Santillo, so
right,
he's not going to
exactly.
Have this issue at all. So what are we talking about?
He's got a real last name.
There's a player correct. On Pitt. Did you watch Pitt, North Carolina last night?
Who are you asking?
Anybody.
No.
Did anybody on this show watch Pitt in North Carolina last night? I know RJ might have dabbled a little bit. There's a player on Pitt. You're going to love this one. I was thinking of you. Federico.
That's lazy.
No way.
It's lazy.
I'm telling you.
It's lazy.
Where is he from?
I don't know. A place where it's okay to name the last name the same as the first, I guess.
Well, I mean, we have the one caller that calls in that just his mother got talked into naming him Stalin.
That's bad. By the way, my wife, of course, defends you. Maybe defends me here. Doesn't make me look great, though. She just texted me. You dragged me to the store at 7 and 8 months pregnant in July in North Carolina no less than 9 times before you bought your first iPhone. Tell Rick not to feel badly about the headphones. Once you actually do use them, you'll probably love them forever. Telling you, I'm very slow to make change. Very slow.
It's an indictment.
Been a full year.
That's not defending you. That's an indictment.
It's a full year.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you have no problem changing your body. You go into 1,300 calories. Like, God forbid you just plug in the headphones.
Maybe I'll use them tomorrow.
Oh, maybe you should. Maybe you'll love it.
Maybe I will. But the point is that her point is that I'm very slow to make change.
You're not slower than Santiago changing out of that stinky droid he uses.
Oh, my goodness.
It's never going to happen. So.
By the way, RJ gives us some update. Federico hails from?
Puerto Rico.
Nope, Finland.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.